The story of The Clash is the story of a band that changed everything. Now, their fascinating journey is a Spotify original podcast called Stay Free, The Story of The Clash. Produced with BBC Studios, Stay Free digs into the archives to unearth rare interviews of the legendary punk band. From their days in dingy London clubs to selling out some of the world's biggest stadiums and the legacy they left behind. This is The Clash in their words, and like you've never heard them before. Listen to Stay Free, The Story of The Clash. It's free, and it's only on Spotify.
Blueface, baby.
Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your popcast versus your podcast. That's like a Benz versus a Ford of music news and criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonica.
Bust down, Tatiana.
Bust down, Tatiana.
I wanna see you bust down. Pick it up, now break that down.
Break it down.
Speed it up, then slow that down on the gang.
Slow it down.
Bust it. Bust down. Bust it. Bust it. Bust down on the gang. Bust down, Tatiana.
Bust down, Tatiana.
I wanna see you bust down.
Over.
Pick it up, now break that down.
Break it down.
Speed it up, now slow that down on the gang.
Slow it down.
Bust it. Bust down. Bust it. Bust it. Bust down on the gang.
Over.
Blue face, baby. Yeah, I'm every woman's fantasy. Mama always told me I was gonna break hearts. I guess her fault, stupid. Don't be mad at me.
Don't be mad at me.
I wanna see you bust down.
Bust down.
Bend that over on the gang.
Yeah,
make that clap. She threw it back, so I had to double back on the gang.
On the gang.
Smacking high off them drugs.
Off them drugs.
I tried to tell myself two times, but enough, enough. Then the relapsed on the dead lows. Ain't no running, Tatiana. You gonna take these damn strokes.
Tatiana.
I beat the.
Bop! It's Blueface, baby. As you guys may know, if you've read Arts and Leisure last week, I spent a couple days in the exurbs of Denver with raps viral sensation Blueface. Blueface is Jonathan Porter. He is a rapper from West Los Angeles who has a big song on Tatiana, which I'm sure you guys know and have probably bust down to. So I want to talk this week about Blueface's rapid rise and virality and the various spellings of Tatiana. There really were only two options for who to have here this week. There's a limited pool of Blueface expertise, and I have it all at the table today. To my right, it's Fader senior editor Ben Dandridge Lemko.
Hello.
Ben wrote a Fader cover story about Blueface. He and I, we're going to swap war stories in a little bit. Across the table, it's Alphonse Pierre, staff writer of Pitchfork.
What's good?
Author of the article. What was the name of the article?
In Defense of Blueface.
In Defense of Blueface. So we're going to, it's the live, this is the live version of that article.
Yes.
So I'm ready. So let's actually start with what you wrote, Al, because I think it sets one of two or three interesting frameworks to listen to Blueface. I'm used to, certainly in the SoundCloud era, people of my generation lamenting, looking at kids and being like, these kids aren't real rappers. You know, like they're just a fake. Like, you know, this is not how I personally feel, but this is like a gen, you know, let's say, oh, Ebro voice, right? Like this is a thing.
Name names.
Yeah, have you listened to podcasts? This is a thing that has become systematic and tiresome in how hip-hop media, broadly speaking, covers the most emergent generations of rappers. So when you came out in October, very strong in defense of Blueface, what was interesting to me is it wasn't purely a kind of like, oh, these rapscallions are fine. It was like, as art, I respect this art. Now, the thing with Blueface is he raps in a way that some people have presented as unconventional. He kind of like talks over beats. His syllabic structures are not maybe as rhythmic as others or as wedded to production. When I first heard it, I actually didn't think it was weird. And actually, the only time it ever occurred to me was when I read your piece defending it, which let me know there was an entire school of people who you were defending it against. So, Al, do you want to talk a little bit about kind of like the mid-2018 Blueface energy and then why you felt you had to come and drop the hammer on these kids?
Yeah. Well, like in about like October, like when Blueface started like hitting like World Star and stuff.
Right.
Like that's like when everything changes because World Star is like so powerful, just like exposes you to like a whole new audience.
There was a World Star anecdote that got cut for space and kind of like context for my piece, which is that sometime, I want to say in like May or June of last year, they reached out to him and were basically like, we will pay for your video. Like, we will basically be the engine of creation of your stuff because we know your stuff's going to go viral. And they were the people who said to him, Thadiana is the one. Like, Deadlocks is good, but Thadiana, that's the one. And he was like, I didn't sign whatever they asked me to sign, but I shot a Thadiana video like immediately. So anyway, world star.
And so, like, during that time, like, there was, like, Blueface started going viral on social media because when people see things on Worldstar, you know, they, like, post it on Twitter, post it on Instagram. And once people started seeing that, there was, like, a real backlash to Blueface in a way that we hadn't seen in a while because, like, when these new rappers come, initially there's usually, like, this, like, oh, they're ruining rap. This is not the way rap is supposed to go. Like, Blueface got booed at, like, a Little Uzi show. Like,
I was there. I was in the crowd.
You at the one in Philadelphia?
I was booing him. No, I'm playing.
Like, not to put, like, Lil TJ on blast.
What is Popcast for if not to put Lil TJ on
blast? I went and spoke to Lil TJ. He was just like, I don't know about Blueface.
Oh!
And so that tells you, damn, like, that even,
Lil,
like,
TJ, a.k.a. B Boogie.
No, I love Lil TJ.
I love Lil TJ, too.
But that tells you, like, the way, like, even, like, the younger, like, audience was, like, looking at Blueface. And so I was looking at Blueface, and I was just like, he's really not that much different than a lot of, like, the West Coast rappers that are out there. Like, look at somebody like a One Take J from, like, One Take Boys or, like, Almighty Suspects or somebody like that. And Blueface, where Blueface was, like, crossing this line was just, like, on his quotables, things he would say, and just things he would say that people would be like, why is he saying this? That's gross. Why is he talking like that? Why is his voice go so high? Why is he offbeat? When really there were other rappers doing that. Yeah. It was really tied into his whole persona, like the tattoos and even like the self-awareness to be able to like do something like point at his own tattoo and be mm-hmm. like, I don't want a job or something like that.
Right. And this is why Blueface is funny, because like, and this is something that I kind of went into the interview not being sure about, but then left being sure about. It was like, is he in on the joke? Yeah. And like, he's in on the joke.
He definitely is in on
the joke. He's in on the joke. And that's so refreshing, because I feel like even with a lot of the younger artists who purport to be in on the joke, like, I don't know if Pump is in on the joke, even though he pretends to be in on the joke. And it's like socially viable for him to be in on the joke. I actually think low key he's not.
I don't think he is either.
Right.
It might not matter if Lil Pump's in on the joke.
Pray for Pump.
I mean, that agency question was something that was talked about with Lil B back in the day, with Gucci Mane even, mm-hmm. with Riff Raff. And I think we can all look back at all of those people and say they were in on the joke.
Absolutely.
Too. And it was just kind of a, you know, online snobbery that was being perpetuated in that way. And I think the same is true for Blueface.
When people are confronted with something new, that they somehow, that makes them feel uncomfortable. Like, the obvious pushback is like, well, that's not it. It's not as smart as it seems. Or, like, it couldn't possibly be, you know, like, I'm smart. So, like, if I don't get it, like, it must not be, you know, that's how critics, whether in publications or on Twitter, that's how they tend to function. But Blueface, in on the joke. Should we play something off Too Cocky? The first Blueface tape? Blower back? A FOIA request, highly redacted blower back.
Damn, I'm finna blow her back. That must be deadly, cause jam don't shake like that. Her ass look like two midgets in a sleeping bag. She threw it back, so you know I had to double back. Damn, I'm finna blow her back. That must be jelly, cause jam don't shake like that. Her ass look like two midgets in a sleeping bag. She threw it back, so you know I had to double back. Damn, she really throwing ass. Made me bust fast. All that clapping. I still train to bust back. I'm running through the pieces like I'm a running back. Sweating the dips, weave out like the dips been running lap. Puff roll playing. See the ass. I don't know how to act. I need the dips to bend it over like a taco. Put my meat in her cheese tips. I'm still nachos. Do a dips cold and still get a pitch of poncho. I ain't text her back, but she still got the message.
So Too Cocky is the first Blueface tape. I was listening to it again last night, and it got me thinking about why we, and I don't mean the three of us, but just like people reject things that they don't quite understand. And I do think with him, some of it is about rap structures. Like, I mean, I think we've all in some way written about, you know, if you listen to West Coast rap from the 90s, there's like plenty of stuff that sounds sort of like Blueface. Like, it's not that shocking, but, you know, the internet is ahistorical and yada, yada, yada. But there was also something really lo-fi about these early Blueface recordings. They felt accidental in some way. They're not mixed super clean. And so I think if you were inclined to be a person who was like, I don't know about this, the actual kind of rawness of the product in and of itself kind of gave you permission to be like, I don't know. Because if you listen to like how the vocals are mixed, he really does sound like he's rapping on top of the beat. Like it's not through the beat. It's like literally like slapped on top. And I wonder if that registered or scanned to you guys at all when you were listening.
I feel like that's how like a lot of rappers like these days are starting out. Like we talked about Pump before. Like mm-hmm. when Pump first like started, like everything felt like it was like an accident. Yeah. Like D Rose or something felt like he was just like mm-hmm. walked in the studio and somebody was just like, oh, go in there and say some shit.
Right.
And
those,
he did.
Those Ronnie J 808s were distorted as hell.
Right. Jump. Right. And it's and even if you were trying to rap through the Ronnie J production, you couldn't really.
Even then, when Blueface first started, a lot of the recording sounded like he could have like recorded in a bedroom, to like mm-hmm. kind of grainy and like almost like he just grabbed a mic and just started like recording it, put like a cover over it or something.
Right.
And I feel like it's really like progressed lately, like very fast. He's gotten like a lot of polish.
Yeah.
And like if you go over the Famous Crip, mm-hmm. and he has like that run of songs on like Famous Crip is like loaded. Like if you go from like song one to like song like mm-hmm. nine,
yep.
it's like literally any of those songs could have been like the hit.
Mm-hmm.
Tatiana just happened to be the one that people grabbed to.
We should probably talk a little bit about his origin story, because I do think the origin story actually lines up with what you were just saying, which is the first time Blueface rapped, he'd like, what's the story? Ben, it's in your, I didn't put it in my piece because it was already in your
yeah,
piece.
Yeah, it's been told.
You saved me 100 words. So
I'm forgetting the name of
TC.
TC 4800.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, I guess he was back in L.A. after he came back from college, kind of failed.
Mm-hmm. A failed football player. Yeah. He was a touted football recruit. A lot of good videos on YouTube of him throwing 40-yard passes. I talked to his high school coach. He said it was very coachable. That was fun. He played the Barney cleanup song in the weight room. You know, like he was a very like regular, chill, no face tattoos, like yeah. just like a nice kid. Seemed like a nice kid.
Yeah.
Shouts to being a nice kid.
Being a nice kid, not
the new rap, very the new rap superstars.
Very underrated.
Nice kid.
But yeah, so that the football went left. He came back to LA. He was cutting hair, doing illicit things, I guess, is what he said to me.
Low level.
On the record.
Yeah. No, it seemed like he was doing low level things.
Low level things. He had a few odd like jobs here and there. Mm-hmm. But he was also kind of fell in with TC 4800 and this whole schoolyard crip, like the rap, kind of more of the rapping side of that. And he was driving him to it. He was going to shows with them, and he drove him to a show one night. And I guess TC 4800 left a charger. You know, maybe it was one of the dongle things. I don't mm-hmm. know.
Right, it's true. It could be a dongle.
But, you know.
If anybody wants to clear that up,
something he needed back to charge his phone. And he told Blueface to pull up to the studio. Blueface went. There was a beat on. You know, everyone in the room was writing to the beat. Mm-hmm. And he wrote to the beat, too. And he just was like, let me get in the studio. And he recorded. He said it was, you know, he loved hearing his voice.
And rap history has been changed forever.
That's
it's the smallest of moments when the VH1 series about Blueface is made in the year of our Lord 2034.
I'm waiting on that.
This is you're going to be the head writer.
The Blueface.
I hope so. Hire me, VH1.
So one of the things I think like an older generation struggles with when it comes to rapping is like this idea of like, oh, you just work on your craft. It's like you just like hunched over a pad, like your shoulders hurt because you've just been hunched over a pad for 15 years before you're even confident enough to like show someone your bars. That is literally not how anything works anymore. So the idea that like 18 to 24 months ago, Blueface was just like a guy who just like walked into a studio and was like, I would like to see what I sound like on a microphone. And now he's got a top 10 Billboard hit. That's tough to swallow for a lot of people of like a certain generation.
Yeah. And it's like, it's even almost like a badge of honor. Like people, rappers like throwing that in old people's faces. Like I was just at South By and 10K Cash performed.
So sorry.
10K
pray
Cash.
Pray for Ben.
Yeah. Everyone pray for me. But I saw 10K Cash perform and he was like on stage. He was like, this is crazy. I just started rapping 9 months ago.
But that's how it happens now. And the thing that I thought was really telling, and I'm sure it came up in your interview as well, is him being like, I kind of already was I was the high school quarterback. Like I was the cool guy. Like I was the center of attention. So like it wasn't that tough for me to basically find another thing where I could be a center of attention. That's like my natural That's my mode of being. And so he found this thing and he's like, I don't know if he's like a great rapper, but he's like a very good rapper. He's good. He's a good rapper. You think he's great?
I don't know about great.
He's top 10? Better than Rakim?
I mean, Famous Crip, is, I think, was like a top 10 like rap project of last year.
Sure.
Famous Crip greater than Illmatic.
Yeah, exactly. Start it now. Start the memes now. I just want to see side by side like Famous Crip and like every other important rap record better than.
That is the type of hyperbole I was seeing around the time that he wrote that beast in defense of Blueface piece, though. It was like Blueface actually saved rap.
And people would actually get like mad about that.
Yeah, like it was kind of, there was a trolling element to it, but like it wasn't Blueface. Blueface wasn't the one trolling.
Right, but that trolling has become kind of like a de facto part. Like, that's like in the Yachty moment, like, trolling was a part of it. Like, with Pump and Perp, like, that trolling, like, there's all, that's become part of the sort of suite of tools that new rappers either are using themselves or are deployed on behalf of new rappers. So Migos is better than the Beatles, but that's like the high profile version, but it's happening on micro, you know, on micro forms all the time.
But at the time that wasn't the high profile version. At the time that was like,
you mean the Migos thing?
Yeah. That, you know, that's
sure.
Migos wasn't what they were now, but,
which is to say a lesser group.
Sorry. There to go. No, I agree.
That's also a scary thing, though, because, like, talking about, like, Yachty, where he's almost like a rapper where, like, the meme, like, kind of, like, overtook him. And now if Yachty's to, like, say he's going to, like, drop an album, does anybody really care?
Right.
So that's, like, a situation. You have to be able to balance that. And that's something that Lil Pump is facing right now. Even somebody like a Smoke Perp, can they balance being a meme and also still actually being a rapper?
Said the wise genius Blueface, people be famous for everything but their music. And it was interesting to hear a guy who's basically a viral engineer say there's got to be something on the other side of the meme. Like, just to be cognizant of it and just be like, I understand memes are funny. I'm out here being a subject of them or being manipulated via the meme ecosystem. But if there's not a hit on the other side of that, I'm gone. That said, there was like a little bit of, I did have a sad moment maybe like 5 or 6 days ago. It was like maybe the day after my piece came out. And then there's a video of Blueface like doing the bust down on like a gas station countertop, like a, you know, like a checkout counter or something. And it felt really tragic to me. I was like, this poor guy who's just like, okay, I'm going to do the dance now. Like, and then he like just like jumps up on the countertop, and then someone's like upset, and then there's a woman in the background who's like, he's a performer, it's fine, he's a performer, that's his performance.
The Shiggy effect.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, damn, man, like single tear. Yeah, seriously, save Shiggy, man. Okay, so Blueface is popping now, sort of. Do you think Thotiana's over? Just sidebar, do you think it's over?
If it came on somewhere I was out, I would dance to it.
But do you think, like, in its life, do you think in its life it's over? Because it went to number 9 on Billboard, and then it fell back a couple of spots. But to be fair, the Jonas Brothers came out with a Maroon 3 banger that week. And so obviously there was some reshuffling that had to happen. But do you think that the life of that song, because I know, I'm sure you guys felt similar, there was like an urgency when I was writing the thing, bro. I was just like, we got to get this. This got to go. We got to go. Because, like, we don't know where this is going to go. It could flame out in 4 weeks, or it could, maybe it'll go all summer.
Part of me thinks Blueface could fall off tomorrow, mm-hmm. and just in general, regardless of Thotiana. So, yeah, but if there is an urgency and there is a, you know, impermanence to all of this, it's, mm-hmm. you know, these are, it's driven by the meme after all. Mm-hmm. There was part of me that thought it was going to go number one.
I wonder.
I still think it could climb higher.
There's a non-zero chance of that happening. I don't know if it's 100. Maybe 20% chance.
I feel like the song like still has life just because mm-hmm. we're kind of biased and that we've just like heard it so much.
Right.
And that there's still people like being introduced to Blueface. There's still people finding out about it. And I'm sure like WAC 100 has like Blueface in a Cole Bennett studio right now. Yeah. Shooting like Thotiana number 3.
Exactly.
The Chicago mix or something. he's like, yo, G Herbo. Like,
I'm on this.
Oh, man.
But that's okay. So, to talk about the kind of like long life of Thotiana, so there's two official remixes. You have a YG remix, and then you have a Cardi B remix, which have sort of been like Frankensteined into one remix, depending on what radio station or streaming service you're listening to. And, you know, I appreciated the strategy. Obviously, YG makes it more street certified. It's Bloods and Crips working together. It's extending its life. Also, like, when you listen to Thotiana on its own, you realize it's basically like a 90-second song. I mean, it's like 2 minutes and 12 seconds or whatever, but it's like basically a 90-second song. So, and then the Cardi mix, which I think is good, but it's meant to make it a little bit more palatable in the pop space. Although, if they really want to do that, they should just put Gerald on it. Just really get that yaper. But so they're clearly, they're thinking about how to extend the life of Thotiana strategically, how to kind of like make it break out. Let's listen to bits of these remixes of Thotiana. Let's listen to a little bit of the YG verse and a little bit of the Cardi B verse. Probably highly bleeped.
Bust down, bust it, bust it, bust down on the gang. Do it still get wet? Is it tight? But a nigga do it look nice. Raw dog a red bone and have a red face, baby. Yeah, I feeling on that air, tryna see what's the deal. That shot fake, that fashion's for real. Oh, you don't wanna suck, ill. I don't wanna fuck no more, the vibe got killed. Bust down, bust down, bust down. After you go down south, I need that uptown ride. Don't stop, you don't know what uptown means, it's on top. Get it, when you get a mob. Had to get down, cause the X was an eye. Thotiana from the block, split half for that. You with my like a fly. She in a fashion over, bust down. Let me smash in the rover, bust down. She him and me, bust down. That's a pretty little thing, no, that's a bust down.
Bust down, Thotiana.
Bust down, Thotiana.
Bust it, bust down on the gang.
Cardiana, Cardiana. I was home with my kid, Mamiana. Mamiana. Rude, I don't be with all that drama.
Nah.
Mind me my business, I'ma bother.
I'm a bother, yeah.
I ain't dragging, I'm lit.
Like
clapping back, bitch, I'm clapping on the bus, bust it. I'm a savage. Throw it back like a 10-year challenge.
Woo!
Take him to the crib, then I push him on the sofa. Have his breath smelling like the mimosas. Being finished, tell him beat it up.
Beat it
and
up.
If the stop beating, give it skip it off.
Keep
it's
it up.
So fat, he think it's in my butt. I don't swallow plan B, I just swallow the dope, I'm the dope dealer. And if your pussy good, shouldn't have to maintain a broke dope, nigga. Real bitch, real life, everybody gang bang. No, they ain't real right. Since I came in the game, been a real one.
Real.
And need this shit changed, but I'm still one. All facts, no cap,
no cap.
How you like that?
Like that.
Ain't got no time for no subliminals. After a while, being petty just means you're miserable. Yeah, straight lane.
Straight lane.
Yeah, bust down yours, plain Jane. I make him go insane. I'm fucking with my red flag on him. When I come, I say gang on the gang.
Bust down, Thotiana.
Bust down, Thotiana. I wanna see you bust down. Pick it up, not break that bitch down. Break it down, speed it up. Not slow that bitch down.
There's a reason that The Clash were known as the only band that mattered. Their music transforms punk into protest. It fights for those who can't fight for themselves. And it inspires all of us to join them and do it loud as hell. Now, their spirit lives on in a Spotify original podcast called Stay Free, The Story of The Clash. Hosted by hip-hop icon and Clash superfan Chuck D, Stay Free charts the band's rise and fall, and why their music matters just as much in 2019 as it did in 1979. Listen to Stay Free, The Story of The Clash. It's free, and it's only on Spotify.
Does that stuff feel contrived to you guys? Do you feel like those remixes are effective? Do they do what they're ostensibly designed to do?
I think that they do in terms of, I mean, we've seen the way it's moved up the charts, and that's, I think, directly a result of streams, which these remixes were released to game that system.
Right.
For me, it does absolutely nothing.
Right, right. It doesn't feel, they don't feel essential.
Yeah, it feels like something to boost the numbers. I feel like it can hurt Blueface in a way in that people are witnessing like how forced some of this stuff is and how badly he wants this song to like keep living.
Yeah.
And that he's kind of just like trying to just push off releasing new music. Like he could just like drop a new song and just see where that goes. But
he's put out a couple of new songs. Well, okay, let's listen to Studio's the bad one. So let's not listen to Studio, because Studio is... That is not a good record. I would like to go the rest of my life without hearing Studio again. But let's listen to another song that's kind of come out in the wake of the early Thotiana success, and that's Bleed It.
Pull up on your block tonight, bleed it. Slide it. If I don't drop something, I can't leave it. Walk out the pole, but this tech got him leaning. Never let the beat get cold with the meaning. Pull up on your block tonight, bleed it. Slide it. If I don't drop something, I can't leave it. Walk, I be told, but this tech got him leaning. Never let the beef get coerced to me. A handgun, top out a Mackin. Gotta keep a technical in case it's hacking. Glock with a on my lap, I'm in traffic. My pistol bloated, ready to unload it. Pop up, least expected, like a notice. Famous crip, everywhere I go, people notice. I started to notice, you gotta watch the people closest. Dozing off in his bins, cause I can afford not to focus. Glock make him disappear, hocus pocus. I work too hard, I'm never lacking. I told pistols, you typing all captions. I'm really popping.
So this is my favorite Blueface song, probably. It's funny. It's a little bit dark. It's like aggressive, but also kind of like LOL. Like it's kind of all the things. And it's like it has like in his visual presentation, it has like a meme built into the visual presentation. I was talking about the mop. And I was asking him about bringing out the mop at every show. And it's like it's funny. Like I feel like when I was interviewing, like every time I'd ask him something, he'd be like, it was so random. Cause like it was all very random. He was like, we were doing some gig somewhere and like the venue manager was like a super fan and like brought a mop to the green room and was like, here. And Blueface was like, why are you bringing me a mop? And he's like, for Bleed It. And he was like, oh, okay. And then like that just became a thing. So the other punchline about Bleed It is a very fine perfunctory rap song.
It's his most on-beat song.
That's what I'm saying. It's like for everyone who spent late 2018 complaining about Blueface, you could just show them this song. And right. Be like, you guys just want a regular rap song? Here.
He can, yeah, and that also speaks to the fact that he can clearly rap on beat if he wants to.
Exactly.
But to Al's point about the contriveness of the remixes, mm-hmm. too, I mean, I've seen the term industry plant, which, you know, really doesn't mean a damn thing at this point. But I've actually started to see that thrown around in regards to Blueface. And I think it's really just like, I wasn't paying attention to this. Now it's everywhere in my face. It's kind of not giving credit, like Blueface credit as a, you know, marketer, the marketing savvy that he has.
Blueface is the real deal.
No, he's really good at social media.
Yeah, he's very good. It's like I found him just like endlessly admirable and like kind of like nonchalant about it. Like he wasn't, I don't know, did you find him like extremely, not to pun on the title, but like did you find him extremely cocky?
Not extremely. I mean, so you could tell he's confident, but mostly he's just like he's a cool person. He's not like super extra or you know, doing anything annoying at all times. He's just pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I found him, like, I just like the idea that he understood that Blueface was a character, that he understood, like, you turn it on sometimes, you turn it off sometimes. The second night I was there with him, his baby moms was there, and you could tell, like, just the way that he was around her was just, like, very different than, like, how he would be on stage or, you know, you could just see the lights, the switch going on and off.
I would also say he's very smart. He knows he's very smart, but there's a limit to that when you get into the industry and you're young.
Yes,
and
he is very young.
You don't necessarily know all the ins and outs of, you know.
Are you talking about how he doesn't know how many record labels he's on to?
Yeah, I'm hinting at that.
Everybody, but nobody does.
Nobody does. No, nobody I'm not does. Expecting him to have like read the fine print. I just think, I don't know.
I guess I just have, having done this a long time, I have like a little bit more like tolerance and generosity towards like young kids who just like don't know what the hell they're doing.
For sure.
Cause like none of them, like literally none of them, like I'm sure Pump doesn't know. I'm sure like, you know, just nobody.
Just signed to
man,
the
man, we're just really
number.
Watching Pump just like, this has turned into like, this whole thing has changed.
Yeah. It's just as smart as you can be on one very crucial side, you know. You can be not smart on this side.
Okay, let's play kind of the pre-Thotiana hint. Let's play Deadlocks, the original.
I'm scared of being lonely, little baby. I'm still scared of being broke. Go to Deadlocks. Blueface versus Show. Look in, little baby. That's like Benz versus Ford. If I still been half, these niggas still can't afford it. Yeah, all right. That's on the Deadlocks. Chase a bag. Don't worry about what I'm doing. I hate when I get up and the bitch ask where you going. On the Deadlocks. Snips, what is you saying? All that playing hard to get, little baby, stop playing. On the Deadlocks. Blueface killing verses. Little baby, I'm the flyer. Show me who I'm versus. On the Deadlocks. Blueface been a joint. Bet the 10 to 4 and watch me hit my point. On the Deadlocks. Styling while the stylist. Deuce and the leader. Got a nigga really vibing. On the Deadlocks. Gucci on my bag. Grammys on my neck, designer on my ass. On the Deadlocks. Yeah, I tick in town. Sick and talk to you out and you stop coming around. On the Deadlocks.
I can only find one interview online with Scum Beats. Did you guys read that interview?
I didn't.
So Scum Beat, who I ultimately just didn't get around to getting on the phone for my story just because the timing wasn't going my way. He did one interview, it was maybe like 2 months ago, and he says that the Deadlokes beat was 3 years old. Yeah, and so does Deadlokes sound like it came out in 2018? I don't know. It could have been 2014. It could have been 2006. It could have been 1992. It doesn't feel quite as sonically, the sound and the time don't line up in the way that like it would have 10 years ago or 15 years ago. But I was intrigued because Scum Beats, I guess, is an old friend of Blueface's, and like the guys who were on the road with Blueface were Scum Beats' brothers, I think. I'm not 100% sure. I think the DJ was his brother, and then maybe one of the like muscle guys was like maybe also a brother. Not 100% sure, but I thought it was interesting that it was just like he just had this thing sitting around and Blueface was just like, I'm gonna turn that into a hit. It kind of increases the happenstanceness of it all, because it's not like someone who's like, I'm gonna make the most contemporary, I'm gonna make the newest hottest specific thing. It's just like, yeah, I got this here, I'm gonna give you a hard drive, I have this thing. Do you think there's a Scum Beats sound? Because obviously there's Deadlokes and then there's Tatiana.
I feel like it's like a common thing right now on the West Coast, where so much of the rap there doesn't feel like it belongs to like a specific like moment or mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. It belongs to the region.
I know Ben's a West Coast guy.
But you're saying in essence that it belongs to the region more than it belongs to the moment.
Yeah.
That feels right. Ben, tear us down.
There's a lot of Oakland erasure going on and I'm tired of it.
Okay, speak on it, let the people know.
Alphonse mentioned One Take J. Who else did you mention?
Almighty Suspect.
To me, Draco the Ruler was like, he clearly had been listening to Draco the Ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And Draco the Ruler is someone who has always shown a lot of love to the Bay, always collaborated with a lot of Bay Area artists. Blueface hasn't really done the same thing, but this is a sound that really is like, to me, as soon as I heard Blueface, like you, I didn't really think anything of it. I was just like, oh, it's just another LA rapper copying the Bay sound.
Oh, my God. First of all, do you want to just quickly identify where in the Bay you're from? Just because, like, I want those people to know that you are here on their behalf.
I'm from Oakland.
Okay.
I grew up in Oakland.
Thank you.
But, yeah, this sounds like 08, 09, MySpace specifically. I'm going to say a name that's, I'm positive, has never been said on the podcast.
First of all, don't shade podcasts, because you don't know what's been said on the podcast.
Young Kurt.
Okay, fine. I'll give you that. Speak on Young Kurt.
Young Kurt is from Antioch, California, I believe. I guess it was during the hyphen movement and post-hyphen movement. Definitely was putting all his music on MySpace.
Was he on Digital Dripped?
Potentially could have been on Digital Drip.
All right. Shouts to Nas. Digital Drip Boys. Yo, if anybody has zip files of Digital Drip's daily releases circa late 2000s, please podcast at nytimes.com.
One Take J actually interpolated a Young Kurt song. I'm forgetting the song right now, but he recently interpolated a Young Kurt song. And yeah, anyway, that's where this whole sound comes from. L.A. taking the Bay sound.
Deep into the Bay rap right now.
Good Lord. First of all, I feel like there's just a lot of historical trauma that you're unearthing about LA stealing things from the Bay.
I mean, yes, people make fun of, you know, we take things very personally. We're hurt. This has been going on for a long time. I didn't like Blueface at first. I was like, you know what? This is like, I'm tired of this. But I came around. And I don't know. We just want some credit.
You've earned it here. You've earned the spot to be here to take the credit.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing and putting some respect on Young Kurt's name.
Yes, Young Kurt, DJ Upgrade, you know, listen to the legends, the forgotten legends.
What I would like to see is a Fader or Pitchfork or Fader Pitchfork collab series unearthing late 2000s digital rap giants that never were major label stuff. Like, you know, like, let's revisit very specific micro histories, like real, like, that was good for 4 months and just completely disappeared off the internet, but like set things in motion.
I would love to.
That's the musicology.
Like, how deep are we going? Like,
I want to go deep. No, see, to me, that is the musicology, doesn't it? Because there's this presumption that the internet preserves everything, but I certainly am old enough to know the internet forgets everything. So what I would like is something that's like a little bit more authoritative that recovers some of these lost histories. Yes. So anyway, you tell Rob Stone and everybody. That's part of your job. Let's talk about virality. Let's talk about the memes. Do you think Blueface's self-memeing is, do you find it organically funny?
I feel like at first it was funny. Now it's kind of just like him just taking Instagram. He goes on there, sees what he's tagged in, reposts it. And it's just him, a lot of like rehashing and like just, I'm going to lick my eyebrows today. I'm going to bring out the mop today. I'm going to go into the store and dance today. And I guess that always gets old eventually. And I guess it goes back to the point you made about the music. If there's a song out behind that, and then all the memes feel fresh.
Yeah.
But when there's not that song behind it, right now it's just Tatiana and the remixes, then it starts to feel tired.
Do you think there's a second thing? Like, do you think, whether it's Bleeded or Respect My Crippin', or like, do you think that there's like a genuinely viable, not top 10 necessarily, but like something that keeps them on radio?
I feel like it would have to be something new at this point. Because
so none of these.
Yeah.
Even though Tatiana is like a year old, you know how these things happen. It takes forever.
And Tatiana is weird because I feel like it's not even like Blueface at his weirdest.
No, not at all.
It's kind of like a very like tame Blueface. It's just like a catchy hook. And the verses are very just like very standard like West Coast rap verses.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like where Blueface is like really engaging is when he's like, when he feels like he's just having a conversation or he's just going into that flow where it's just into that real offbeat flow. And I feel like that's where I want to hear Blueface.
Dead Lux is a better song to me.
No, it definitely is. I remember like those videos. I wrote about it in the Pitchfork article of mm-hmm. the kids just when you used to just pull up to the high schools,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and kids would just be like moshing the Dead Lux and Blueface would just be there just doing the bust down dance, and there's all like these 16-year-old kids just rapping every word to Dead Lux back at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's when like the memes really took off when he was like posting that on there.
Oh, sure. Ben, do you want to talk about recovering the bust down dance for as part of vocal and rap history as well? Or are we good? Are we covered on that?
Like I said, DJ Upgrade, do your homework, drop it to the clap video. You'll see some. I've seen people in Oakland do that dance since I was in middle school.
Although, to be fair, crotch grabbing is not exclusively a preserve of California.
Speak on it.
I'm just saying. there are versions of... I would say a less hypertrophied version of that feels to me very tied to 90, like early 90s R&B.
Yeah, true.
So I feel like
Jodeci.
Yeah, I mean, you can family tree it out a bunch of different ways. Not that I want to continue to erase the Bay. I'm just saying.
Yo, Alphonse just said Dead Lux, Mad New York. Dead Lux.
And you just want to erase the whole state.
And he said Blueface stole the dance from Jodeci. Like,
I mean, that's
Blueface.
Do I gotta pull up Jodeci Unplugged right now?
Man, we need a visual element here. We need some visual.
That's
aids.
True. That's a podcast. That's what the weekly. That's the Times TV show. We gonna do podcast visual, all Jodeci throwbacks. Just purely, it's just gonna be purely flame retardant overalls for all of 2020.
To Alphonse's point, though, I was actually with the when I was reporting the story. It was kind of right after Soulja Boy kind of done his whole Dre thing. And we were talking about it and we were laughing about it. And I was kind of like, well, yeah, but I don't know if he doesn't have any music out right now or does he even? And Blueface was like, yeah, he has nothing to sell. Like, and it's kind of that, you know, virality is great. Being a meme is great. He doesn't care about any of that, but you have to have something to sell behind it.
Yeah, as soon as Soulja Boy like did that, he was like trying to like push out new songs like on World Star. Literally the next day he had like a video and song up.
I mean, I ordered my Soulja console immediately after.
Yeah, which you ever received it?
I'm just kidding. I didn't.
No, I mean, that's I'm a collector. I'm an archivist. You know, like I want
that might be worth a lot of money.
I want all the merch. You know, like I want all the weird. So if there was an opportunity to acquire said Soulja Boy products, like I would happily, much to the consternation of all my loved ones, I would happily spend money to possess all of those things. But it seemed like by the time I tried to even order any of the Soulja Pods, it was all the website was not. I mean, probably thankfully, because I would have been out.
You got to support Soulja Boy scamming, you know?
I've been supporting it for more than a decade. Why would I stop now? You guys like the G-Eazy song? Let's listen to the Gerald and Jonathan Porter song. It's called West Coast. Because the West Coast needs another anthem.
It's all love. Yeah. And it's never better.
Blueface, baby. Yeah,
aight.
It's the face of the West Coast. Been mackin', I got more big Petco. VVS is breaking and bustin' like the Metro. West Side Yankees, Midtown business. Yeah, aight. Schoolyard to the children. Used to be broke, cash money got me healing. You can't show me how to make a meal till you make a million. Welcome to the West Coast. This the best coast. You can find the best. In the best row, doing a dash and a ass and up and down Pico, Frico. My pants sack until I'm me show. Yeah, welcome to the me show.
Also, when G-Eazy on this song raps about generation, like acquiring generational wealth through hip-hop, it feels very strange to hear a white rapper rapping about generational wealth through hip-hop. That was very strange. I don't know that I've ever heard a white rapper rap about Even M in his most like weird and insular, like I don't think ever framed it like my grandkids, my grandkids going to Harvard. You know, like I don't think that ever came up in an M song. Anyway, that was Gerald's approach to the song. I thought this is actually kind of a good Blueface. Like I think Blueface is kind of good on this song. How do you feel? Does this feel effective to you as like collaboration? Do you understand the alchemy at play here?
Part of my reporting was in this agency meeting.
Paradigm
agency yep. meeting.
Shouts to all the agents out there. Rep the God. Rep Popcast.
Yeah, they were doing their work. But Wack was kind of explaining this whole thing. He's like, you know, we got this record with G-Eazy, so we can reach that other market. It's just a very clear play at the type of crossover that G-Eazy brings, which is like white suburban, you know, like college campus
girls.
Girls.
I thought you were going to say men with beautiful hair. Because that's real. Because that's the part of Jeezy's that I feel most connected to is the great hair. That's so. I thought that's where you're going. No problem.
I think it's just Blueface paying homage to Bay Legend, you know?
I had to hold my tongue for not saying Blueface hasn't paid homage.
Because,
you know, Gerald. Hold it down.
You know if you come to the Bay, you got to check in with Gerald. You know you can't come to the Bay without checking in.
You do.
Ben, I hope you check in with Gerald next time you go to the Bay.
E-40 would agree.
That's what I'm saying. I'm worried. I'm worried. I don't want Gerald to know what you've been saying about him.
Oh, Lord. We're getting played. You see how they try to play us?
And what's interesting to me about this is kind of how fast it's happening. If you think of, like, arcs of absorption from like kind of like young rap star into getting closer to the center and getting closer to pop, something like this maybe 3 or 5 or 8 years ago would have taken 2 years or 3 years, where it's like, oh, like it would have been like basically like gut checked by like every label executive, like, oh, we don't know, is this like a bad look for G-Eazy, like da-da-da. And now it's just like whatever, like it's just like within 3 months everything is just getting vommed out at all the same time. This record to me does more for Blueface than it does for G-Eazy. It's a higher profile look for him. And I don't think it like radically changes like Gerald's profile. Like it doesn't like make him more credible. Like it doesn't feel that way. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I feel like it just adds G-Eazy. Not that he's in the conversation now, but
we spent the past 5 minutes. Anyway.
But now we're bringing him up.
Yes.
We're at least talking about G-Eazy in a way that we wouldn't without that. And so I think in that way it's a win for G-Eazy.
How many G-Eazy songs are on your iPhone right now?
Full discography.
Right, exactly. Only YouTube exclusives. Only early YouTube exclusives. Nothing else. G-Eazy was something that came up when I was talking to WAC 100. WAC is Game's manager and also Blueface's manager. And WAC, one of the things that he was talking about was basically flooding the zone with Blueface. So having Blueface guest on a G-Eazy record and also having multiple remixes of Thotiana and also Cash Money / Republic starting to work the next wave of singles. And basically, in WAC's telling, this is all ordained. Like, this is like, I know I can only push so many Blueface songs through one label, so I've got them on two labels. I have multiple versions of the songs so that different outlets can take the thing. And then I've got Blueface featuring on other people's songs so that when those songs are pushed, they're pushing a Tyga song, which I don't think is out yet. That Tyga song. Is it out?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's out. Anyway, it's like snippets of it around. Or there's some French Montana song or whatever, all these things. So he's trying to flood the zone, which is modern. That's like the modern approach. Wack is a very intense character. Who is the person that he like duffed out on video? I can't remember.
Stitches.
Stitch? Wow. Wow.
Throwback.
Man. Seriously. Talk about virality. Good Lord.
I think he also managed Stitches for a brief second after that.
Subsequent to that?
Yeah. They squashed it.
I have no comment.
Became his manager.
I have no comment on that. So Wack is a dude who was in both of our stories. I'm sure was pleased to be in both of our stories, probably. That'd be my guess. You don't think?
He wasn't too happy to be in the story.
Really?
Nah.
Why? Because you displayed him saying things that he didn't want to be seen saying?
I'm just not sure. I think maybe he didn't have the kind of control over the narrative that he might have wanted to have.
Life's a challenge.
Yeah. Just for context, in my Fader cover story, there's a scene where he's talking about Tupac, which he's done million times.
Right.
He's literally.
Yeah, that wasn't new.
That wasn't new. So it's not, it couldn't have been just that.
To your point, he's a person who makes his displeasure known in a variety of circumstances, whether it's duffing out Stitches or complaining about a story. But so we had this thing that happened where I spent two nights with them. The first night in Colorado Springs, you know, girls taking their shirts off, lifting their tops up in the crowd. The venue, I kind of couldn't really get into it too much from a detail perspective, but the venue was real grimy. No disrespect to anyone in Colorado Springs for whom this is their home venue, but it was like extremely just real rusty. And I didn't get the sense they had a lot of rap shows there. Just everything was like slightly uncomfortable. And then at the end of the show, Blueface brings up like two small children, which I guess is kind of a thing. I've seen photos of him having done that at other shows. I didn't know that at the time. But he brings up these small kids and asks them, have you guys ever seen a blank before? Which I thought was like maybe not in great taste, but it's Blueface, baby. You know, but then the next night in Englewood, which is another exurb or suburb of Denver, we're sort of met at the back entrance by like a very angry security guard. And he's like, we heard about what happened last night. We heard about these young girls taking their shirts off on stage. That's not going to happen here. Not on my watch. And Blueface is kind of, I mean, you know, he's a little high and he's just like, I don't know, man. You know, but Wack, that's like exactly the scene you want to have Wack 100 at. Because Wack just goes at the guy and he's like, was you there? Were you there? You didn't see it. You don't know. And the guy's like, well, we have colleagues who it's just like the whole thing starts to fall apart. And obviously I was there as a reporter and I can say that that did not happen the previous night, although I didn't say anything in the moment because as a reporter, you have to hide and like blend into the background. But it was a good kind of like Wack summoning like his full energy, his full tornado for like 5 minutes. And then eventually everybody relented. And I don't think Blueface asked anybody to take their top off at the Englewood show. Not 100% sure, but I don't think so.
Wack out here keeping Blueface from getting canceled.
Well,
you love to see it.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned cancellation because there was a thing that happened with Blueface a couple months ago where he referred to a transgender woman as it on his IG story, I believe, in the context of, I guess, the woman was in his DMs. And then he sort of like released the DMs, but it seems clear that he deleted what his part of the DM was. So it was like a little bit, the whole thing was a little bit sus. But like, could Blueface be canceled? Like, if Blueface is a character and the character is effective in this certain part of the world, that seemed to have almost no effect from what I could tell.
It never does.
But it had less than
zero
effect. Less, yes. I mean, I feel like it rarely does in the big picture, but this seemed to be like less than usual. Did it feel like, were you surprised by that?
I feel like I wasn't surprised by it. It kind of just got like swept like under the rug and kind of just moved on. And he really didn't like comment on it.
I tried. Yeah. I mean, I asked, I'm sure you asked, like it was almost like he wasn't equipped to answer he wasn't equipped to understand what the problem was, no less like answer the question.
Did he no comment?
I came at him and I was like, you did this thing. And he was like, you know how people on social, he didn't no comment, but he kind of like pivoted to like social media. And then I came at it another way and he like pivoted to like how his image is and like his character. So it wasn't like a direct, I think he's not advanced enough in the media game to be like, I don't want to talk about that, or like, I have no comment on that. I think it was like a de facto no comment, not an actual no comment.
I know, like, toward the end of the Pitchfork like article I wrote in Blueface, at the end, it's basically just like, it like leaves room to be like, let's just enjoy Blueface now, because there is a sense that he can cross that line of where it's not funny anymore, right. And that he does like take it too far, because he does do a lot of like provocative like things, and just putting himself in those situations is really just asking for him to go too far at a moment.
Yeah, it does have the sense it can burn like a little too hot, like a little too specific, not too hot, like too popular, but like a little too rowdy, a little too raunchy, a little bit like it's not going to translate with a wider audience.
Absolutely. And I mean, yeah, that's the whole thing. But, you know, what's the difference between Jonathan Porter and Blueface, and who is being put in the driver's seat, I guess? And is there a difference? You know, that when I was writing, I actually didn't get a chance to ask him about it, because it happened after my reporting and after, like, just right, I think, like the day or two before the story was published. But while I was writing the piece, the thing that was kind of going viral was him throwing a huge stack of bills at a stripper's head, like
and he calls them roaches or something along those lines.
He called them roaches. It didn't surprise me that any of this stuff hasn't had an effect. I think we've seen that people don't really care.
I mean, to be fair, social media in the viral space, I mean, a lot of it's fun, but a lot of it is kind of like a micro theater of trauma. You know, it's like it's designed for people to laugh at piteous things and to kind of like turn off their own internal moralities. I mean, I sound like a 90-year-old at this point, but like that is some of the gasoline of that space.
Yeah.
It's like, in a weird way, it's like OG. We started talking about Worldstar. It's like OG Worldstar. It's like Worldstar 1.0. And what's interesting about Blueface is he's kind of like a Worldstar 1.0 guy and a Worldstar 2.0 guy. He's doing both.
And when someone's a meme, when someone's so viral and their image is everywhere and their face is everywhere, it's like, I feel like people separate their image from the actual person behind it. So it's just like pointing and laughing, as opposed to, you know, like, this is a person doing these things, right, saying these things.
But at the same time, I mean, let's step back. Are you comfortable potentially with the framing that everything that we're seeing, not just Blueface, but like this whole ecosystem, is all fiction? We're all watching a movie. It's all a movie. And whether it's Pump and Burp, or it's Blueface, or it's Skinny from the Nine, or whoever, like it's 10K, like
Skinny from the Nine.
You know what I'm saying? But like, are you comfortable as an individual writer, critic, thinker, accepting that perhaps instead of treating it like nonfiction, it should be treated like fiction?
Yes.
You are comfortable with
that? I feel like
to some extent.
I feel like we kind of have to just treat it real, or else we get into a situation, like when Tekashi 6ix9ine, not to bring up the dark horse, but like when Tekashi 6ix9ine.
I haven't heard his name in ages.
But like when Tekashi 6ix9ine was like around, it was just like be in the news no matter what. No matter what you're doing, as long as you're on academics' page, right, or as long as like somebody is talking about you, you're doing okay. And I feel like that's something that we shouldn't want. And I don't know how to like prevent that or if that's going backwards. But that is like talking about how artists just have complete control over themselves and just could just put whatever out there, as long as they're staying in the news, is okay.
I'm comfortable taking things at face value.
Yeah.
I would say. I mean, people show you who they are. Blueface has showed us who he is, how seriously he takes himself or not, what he's willing to do to get to where he wants to be, et cetera.
My approach is the same. Like, I take it largely as nonfiction, but I almost was worried that in this moment that's like a contentious choice, when most of the fans perhaps are either not that attuned to the difference between fiction and nonfiction, or just more willing to accept it as kind of standalone. It's just an entertainment, you know, it's entertainment. It's in my phone box and that's it. Like, and not thinking about it hard.
I think a lot of people are, you know, I see like completely false things reported. Well, not quote unquote reported, but like YouTube title, like this person snitches on whatever, you know, like all the time. Like that is, and like hundreds of thousands of views, you know, that is a huge kind of like dark part of rap media right now.
Yeah. I mean, the thing which I find myself saying a lot is like everything on the internet's at least 10% fake. You know, like everything's a little bit false. And like, if I was 14, I wouldn't know that. I would have no way of distinguishing between the 90% true and the 100% true, or the 70% true.
Pretty much just like believe whatever you see on like that YouTube like news station or whatever.
Right. Or like whatever comes up in the, like, you know, these kids on IG who are just like, oh, like a weird thing happened on social media. Like I snipped, you know, I made a snippet of it. And blah, blah, blah.
Like read the comments on a DJ Academics video.
Oh man, come on, man. You're trying to give me a heart attack?
You'll really see. That's where the state of hip hop is, okay?
I'm an older man. I can't do that anymore, man. There are things I gotta factor out of my life at this point. Reading comments on Academics posts is certainly among them. All right, let's restore a tiny bit of joy to this conversation before we go out. What's a Blueface song we haven't played yet that brings you a lot of joy? Al, yeah, bring it. Bring it on.
I really like F them.
Woo! Yep. Okay, well, we're gonna play a very bleeped them as we go out. This is Blueface.
Yeah. Alright. If I show up, I need a bag for the show. Ooh. Damn. I'm finna pick a dough, get it out of for the dough. Ooh. Damn. I'm finna.
That's our show this week. Thank you to Ben and to Al. You listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Email me your favorite Blueface memes at podcast@nytimes.com. And subscribe to podcasts anywhere you get your audio content, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, etc. Our producer is Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media. We will be back next week, or maybe sooner. Life is complicated.
Square bob. She see I'm at the tip. Now she finna. I give her hood. I take her soul. Do a cold. Give her a runny nose. Treat the like a smoky. Tedges off like a bad perm. If I show up, I need a bag for the show. Ooh, damn. I'm finna kick a dough. Get it out of for the dough. Ooh, damn. I'm finna. My DM ain't even asked for